You can't only come to God when you want something for you.
Dr. Tony Evans says praying for our personal wants without considering God's kingdom agenda is missing the point of prayer.
Because then you're not praying, thy kingdom come. You're praying, thy kingdom, hold on, till my kingdom needs you.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. The Bible tells us to bring our requests to the Lord. But today, Dr. Evans explains why those requests ought to have more to do with God's agenda than our own. Let's join him as he explains.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. We've all said it time and time and time again. We've said it in schools. We've said it at sporting events. We've said it at civic events. And what we fundamentally have said is that no matter where we are, there is a national allegiance. We have a commitment to a nation. In fact, a commitment to a kingdom. The United States of America. A constitutional republic that operates by a democratic process. That's where we live. Well, guess what? When you were born again, you became a citizen of another kingdom. You became part of another civilization, if you will. You became part of another community, the kingdom of God. So we ought not be surprised when the next line of the Lord's Prayer is, thy kingdom come. When we use the word kingdom, we're talking about the comprehensive rule of God over all of his creation. Satan has set up a rival kingdom to rival the kingdom of God. Look at 1 Chronicles 29 and listen to the words of David in verses 11 and 12. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, indeed everything that is in heaven, in the heavens and the earth. Thine is the dominion, that is the kingdom. O Lord, and thou dost exalt thyself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from thee, and you rule over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and it lies in thy hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Thy kingdom come. Do you understand? When you pray, thy kingdom come, you are talking about a king who rules a kingdom that overrules everything else. You are going to someone who sits as sovereign over all. Now here's the point. The first point in the concept of God's kingdom, it is this. I cannot hallow God's name if I'm not willing to service his kingdom. Let me say that again. Don't tell me, or better yet, don't tell God, my Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now let's discuss my program. That's not how the prayer goes. Jesus says, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom, not my kingdom, come. You're going to be faced in your life with whose kingdom you're going to follow. You're going to be faced in your life day by day whose kingdom you're going to service. The Lord says, when you pray, pray thy kingdom come. When you are face to face with God's person, he will then unveil his program. You remember Moses? Moses saw the burning bush. He took off his shoes. After he saw the burning bush and came, watch this, face to face with God, hallowed be thy name. Then God showed Moses his program. Go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. So the fastest way to get what God's program is for your life, your calling, your purpose, your direction, which job to take, what is his kingdom program for your life, is to hallow his name. Because hallowing his name gets you into his presence. the burning bush. And when you enter the presence, then he can talk to you, the kingdom. Why? Because in his presence, you're going to be concerned about what? His kingdom. To put it another way, your prayer is not, Lord, I'm coming in your presence so that you can service my kingdom. Your prayer is, Lord, I'm coming in your presence so I can service your kingdom. When you pray, thy kingdom come, you are talking to somebody who rules over all. Romans 11:36 says, from him, to him, through him, for him, everything is for God's purposes. You pray thy kingdom come because God may decide to overrule somebody else's kingdom. He can overrule the kingdom of your boss. He can overrule the kingdom of your friends. He can overrule the kingdom of your enemies. He can overrule the kingdom of Satan. He can overrule any other kingdom as he determines what will be in the best interest of his program. Now, to understand functioning in the kingdom, the concept of the kingdom, it fundamentally means that you're willing to follow the rules of the king. Every king has his own rules. We have constitutions and laws in America that we operate by. So to be part of the kingdom means that you're going to follow his rules. Look at John 18. Jesus is before Pilate. And this is a very important principle. Jesus is before Pilate, and Pilate has a very, very important question to ask Jesus. He says to Jesus in verse 33, are you king of the Jews? Come on, let's get this plain now. Some folks say you're king. Some folks say you're trying to be king. What is the deal? Are you king of the Jews? Jesus says in verse 36, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting that I might be delivered up to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. It's very important. Jesus is dealing with the source of his kingdom. His kingdom is sourced in a whole nother realm. It's not in this realm. Well, it's in this realm, but its source is not in this realm, because God's kingdom is comprehensive. It includes everything. But its source is another realm. What's the other realm? Spiritual realm. That's why prayer is so important. Prayer transports you to another realm. Prayer takes you out of the realm of the five senses and puts you in the realm of the sixth sense. It puts you in the realm of the unseen, unheard. It puts you in the realm of the things that are outside of time and space. But why is that realm important? Because the Bible says in Daniel chapter 4 that heaven rules earth. Well, if heaven rules earth, then spending all your time on earth isn't spending all your time where the power is. The power is in the unseen realm. That's why the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18, that we look on unseen things. We don't look on seen things. Prayer is taking a look into the unseen realm. And God has so hardwired the universe that when the current of prayer flows, it flows from the unseen realm to the seen realm. If we really believe that, we'd pray more. It's because we don't believe it that we pray less. Thy kingdom come. Okay, so that's the concept of the kingdom. Let me say a word about the call of the kingdom. Remember, thy kingdom come. He's calling for the kingdom. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come, come. I want you, I want you. What does it mean to pray, thy kingdom come? Now, we understand what the kingdom is. It's the comprehensive rule of God. But what are we calling him to do? Here's what you're asking God in your prayer. When you get to this part in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, here's what you're asking for. Lord, here's what I want. I want the invisible kingdom that I am relating to now in prayer to become the visible kingdom that I need in my experience. I am asking for you to come out of the invisible realm of your kingdom into the visible realm of your kingdom. I am asking you to manifest your kingdom, not only in eternity, but to make it visible to my five senses in time. I'm asking you to demonstrate yourself. That's what glory is. We'll get to that when we get to the end of the prayer. Thine is the power of the kingdom of glory. You know, what he's saying is to be made visible. We are praying for God's rule among us and through us. When we get a hold of God in prayer related to his program, that is, his kingdom, his comprehensive rule, we're asking him to handle the order of affairs, starting with me internally, and then working out through me into the various spheres of life that God has called me to touch. Now, in order for this to happen, that means his plan or his program must be the preoccupation of our lives. Now, of course, it starts with conversion. Jesus came on the earth in Matthew 18. He said, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom is here, and that you must repent and you must come to me in order to get the king, in order to enter the kingdom. Colossians 1:13 says that we've been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. So if you're here today and you're a Christian, you've gone through a transfer process and you are part of the kingdom of God. But then the kingdom moves from conversion to commitment. I am not only converted, I am committed. I am preoccupied in the pursuit of divine purposes. I want God's program to manifest itself in my life, which is why, again, the next line is, if I'm going to pray thy kingdom come, then I definitely want his will to be done. Now you say, but wait a minute, if I pray like this, then maybe what I want isn't what God wants. Yep. Just thought I'd tell you that. Happens all the time in your house if you have kids, right? They come, mommy, daddy, I want to. And you say yes sometimes. And you say no sometimes. Now, what makes you say yes or no? Very simply, what's in the best interest of the bigger agenda? You don't say no to be mean. You say no because it's not best, at least not best right now. That's why you say no. In fact, you may say yes at another time. But for right now, it may be no. But if you're thinking straight, no is because it's not in the best interest, either of the person asking it or of the bigger program of the home. And so it is when you say, thy kingdom come. Make yourself manifest to me. I want to adjust myself to you.
But when we're not willing to make that adjustment, we run into problems. And Dr. Evans will tell us more about that when he continues our message in just a moment. First, though, I want to tell you about a brand new book he's released called Praying Through the Names of God. You've probably heard God called by different names in the Bible, like Jehovah, Adonai, Elohim. But what you may not know is that each of those names has a special meaning that teaches us something about his character that he wants us to know and trust. Well, Praying Through the Names of God not only digs into 80 of those names, it's packed with over 300 specific prayers that'll deepen your prayer life and show you why there's a name to connect with any need you might run into. Make arrangements to get a copy of Praying Through the Names of God today by visiting us at tonyevans.org. And when you do, please consider making a generous donation to help us keep this broadcast on the air. We can't do that without the faithful support of listeners just like you. And as our way of saying thanks, we'll respond by sending you all 7 CDs in our featured teaching series for this month, The Power of Prayer. We can only make this offer available for a limited time, so be sure to contact us right away. Again, all the details are waiting for you at tonyevans.org. Or you can call us day or night at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our staff members help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. Well, Dr. Evans is back now with more of today's message. Let's join him.
You can't experience God's program for your life and be sitting on the fence. You can't be part-time Christian. And let me tell you something else you can't do. You can't only come to God when you want something for you. Because then you're not praying, thy kingdom come. You're praying, thy kingdom, hold on, till my kingdom needs you. That's not what the prayer says. The prayer says, thy kingdom come. When you pray that, you're communicating something. You want something to happen. What do you want to see? Well, the first thing you want to see is the power of the kingdom. Remember in Acts chapter 1, when they wanted to know when Christ was going to come back and set up his eternal kingdom, the ultimate answer to the prayer, for thy kingdom come, Jesus said, well, look, it's not for you to know, verse 7, the times and the epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. It's not for you to know when I'm going to come back. It's not for you to stand gazing up into the heavens wondering when Jesus will return. But look at verse 8. Wow. But you shall receive power. You might have to wait for Christ to come back, but you don't have to wait for the power. The power is already here. For you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Then why are we so powerless? If we've got all this God power in us through the presence of the Holy Spirit, it's not a problem of the access of power, because every believer has the Holy Spirit, right? So every believer has the same power source. Then how come some are moving and some are going nowhere? Why is it that some Christians can see the work of the Holy Spirit bringing deliverance, bringing power, bringing victory, and other Christians just see perpetual defeat? May I suggest that one group is concerned about thy kingdom coming, the other group is not. May I suggest that on the heart of one group is to experience the kingdom's power. And how did they experience the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 1? Guess what they did? They went to Jerusalem and they went into God's presence. Here we go. Did you know the best way to get God's plan for your life is not you planning it and asking him to sprinkle a little blessing over it? That the best way to get God's kingdom to unfold in your life and to experience the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit is to live in his presence? There is more power in his presence than in your plans. Because you see, guess what we do? When we plan it, nothing wrong with planning, but when the essence is, I'm planning it and I'm only asking you to bless it, that means when he doesn't bless what we plan, we think he's forsaken us. When it's not that he's forsaken us, he's just not interested. That's not where he's trying to go with you. That's not the direction he's going in. So since he's not going that way, he's going to take his power and use it with somebody who's going his way until you find out that your way is going no way and come over to his way. But the power is available and they experienced it in his presence. Let me tell you what else comes with this kingdom. Isaiah 9. Talking about the prophecy of Jesus Christ, verse 6. For a child will be born to us, and a son will be given to us. And the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Remember, it's talking about the child will be called Mighty God. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. Now that's what I want to zero in on, verse 7. There will be no end to the increase of his government or peace. He's just said at the end of verse 6, he's the Prince of Peace. He comes back to peace again in verse 7, but in between peace in verse 6 and peace in verse 7, he says that there will be no end to the increase of his government. Now, where am I going with this? If you want to have more peace, he must have more government. If you want to have more peace, peace means lack of chaos. Lack of chaos in your life. Lack of chaos in your mind, lack of chaos in your family, lack of chaos in your direction. If you just want chaotic mess, then what he must have is more governing authority in your life. Because as his government increases, your peace increases. That's why the Bible says, don't worry about anything. But in prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the God who gives peace shall set up Trojans around your heart. He will keep fear, anxiety, and worry from crippling you. Why? Because he's controlling you. He's controlling you. And then we realize kingdom promises. There's so many promises in the Bible. Some are yes in eternity. But others are for time. Others are right now. Anything God commands, God enables. God never commands something he doesn't intend to do. That's his program. You say, how do I know what his program is? Well, you start with what he reveals. Don't try to find out what he hasn't revealed until you find out what he has revealed. Because God's kingdom will always coincide with his word. But then, if you don't know what specific application to make, that's where prayer comes in. And you say, Lord, thy kingdom come. Now, Lord, this is my plan. This is what I think I should do. This is the way I think I should go. This is the route I think I should take. But you know what? I'm not sure whether what my plan is the same as your plan. I'm not sure. So what I want to say is I want to put my plan before you, and then I want to lay on top of it, thy kingdom come. I submit my program to you. I submit my program to you. And when your program comes, then your will be done. You say, but yeah, but what about me? That's the second half of the prayer. What God is saying is if you get him straight, you'll be well taken care of. That's what he said.
Well, Dr. Tony Evans will come back in a moment with a final story to wrap up today's message. First, though, if you'd like to review today's study on your own or share it with somebody else, the title to ask about is The Program of Prayer. And it includes a lot more material than we were able to present on the air. Or better yet, ask about getting our featured series for this month, an insightful collection called The Power of Prayer. Don't forget, we're making this compilation of sermons available on CD as our thank you gift when you support the ministry of The Alternative with a contribution of any amount. So get in touch with us today and make your request before this special offer runs out. You can get all the information and make your donation online at tonyevans.org or call us at 1-800-800-3222. Our phone center is open 24/7, so there's no need to wait. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. We often pray in hopes of getting more of what we want. Well, tomorrow, Dr. Evans explains why we sometimes ought to be asking for the exact opposite. Be sure to join us for that. Right now, though, he's back with this final illustration.
You know, in the Olympics, these folk work hard to win a medal in the Olympics, right? They go all out to win a medal. So they get on, the runners get on the starting blocks. They break out there and they go. There's a gold, silver, and bronze winner. And they stand on the platform. Music begins to play. What's the music? The national anthem of the gold medal winner. Let me tell you what the judges don't ask the gold medal winner. They don't ask him, what's your favorite song? What's your favorite song so we can play it so everybody can hear it? You know why? Because even though they ran individually, they ran under a bigger banner. They were athletes representing the United States of America. And so our national anthem is played for everybody else to hear if our person came in as the gold medal winner. Because in the Olympics, you represent your nation. That's a kingdom. God wants you to run for his kingdom. So that when the song is played, it's his song, his glory. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory. Forever and ever, amen. And I've never seen a gold medal winner yet frowning because the United States is getting all the credit. You know why? Because when they come home, the United States is so proud of them that they're given recognition, they're given a celebration, and God will not forget those who run hard for his kingdom and let his flag blow high. He will not forget that you did it for his glory.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative, restoring hope, transforming lives.